About 1.7 million residents in Michigan do not have full access to health care. And in the Upper Peninsula, the shortage is especially acute in mental or behavioral health services. A community health needs assessment for 2018 reported that every UP county had an alarming shortage of mental health professionals with waiting periods as long as 8 months. Now, four state university medical schools are engaged in recruiting and retaining physicians for underserved areas by adding incentives to their residency programs. And for the UP, it begins with two new residents in psychiatry. We'll discuss physician shortages in the region, mental health needs, and the MyDocs initiative next on Media Meet. Hello and welcome to WNMU's Media Meet. I'm Bill Hart. Our guests are UP Health System Marquette Behavioral Health Senior Director Rose Young, Michigan State University College of Human Medicine UP Region CEO Stuart Johnson, and Portage Health Foundation Executive Director Kevin Storr. Welcome.
Thank you.
First, a look at the organizations and expertise represented. Can you briefly describe your organization, your place in it, and how it intersects with mental health services in the UP? Rose, can you begin?
Sure. I represent UP Health System Marquette. I'm the director of the inpatient services and outpatient services. Mm-hmm. We serve Marquette County and all the surrounding counties on our inpatient unit. Outpatients come from all counties as well, so okay. We have a pretty broad population that is served here in Marquette, and we also use telemedicine to serve other areas for our physicians.
I see. Stuart?
So I'm a family physician and hospice palliative medicine physician. I trained at the Marquette Family Medicine Residency Program after medical school at Michigan State University. Before that, I attended Northern Michigan University as a student. The Michigan State University College of Human Medicine Upper Peninsula Region is a corporation that has a joint venture between the College of Human Medicine and UP Health Systems Marquette.
I see.
To be responsible for the training and education of family medicine physicians, medical students, visiting students into our healthcare system like NPs, PAs, medical students, residents, and fellows. And so we interact with the psychiatrists and have obviously a strong passion to increase the access to healthcare and behavioral medicine.
I see. Kevin.
Yes.
A little something about Portage Health Foundation.
Sure. I'm the executive director of the Portage Health Foundation. We serve an area that encompasses Berga, Houghton, Ontonagon, and Keweenaw counties. We are a charitable health-focused, health-centered foundation that is located in Hancock. We have about $67 million in total assets. And our role in the mental and behavioral health arena is really from the perspective of a funder and a collaborator with other community organizations and nonprofits, as we are working to better establish partnerships and collaboration to address this very real community need that we have.
Okay. A report I had mentioned earlier, Upper Peninsula Community Health Needs Assessment 2018. Every 2 years, generally, this report is done by, in this case, by the Western Upper Peninsula Health Department. It says every county in 2018, it was except Marquette, was federally designated a health professional shortage area for mental health care. First, what does that mean, and what's Marquette's status now in that respect?
Sure, well, Marquette County status was updated last July, so probably just a overlap in reporting. So we did become a HPSA, health professional shortage area.
Okay.
And that actually means that we can recruit candidates and get them some additional loan repayment options through the National Health Services Corps. And we can also recruit international candidates on what's called a J-1 visa.
Okay. So it gives you the opportunity to add physicians from
Correct.
Other sources.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
The figure given in 2018 was, I think, one psychiatrist for every 39,000 UP residents. Has that been the rule?
You know, that's unfortunately correct, right? So there are just very few psychiatrists in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I can think of four, maybe five counties in the Upper Peninsula that actually have a psychiatrist physically present in that county.
I see.
And so not only is there a challenge for patients to be seen by psychiatrists where there are more psychiatrists in Marquette, it's hard to get in to see them. There's usually, a 3 to 4 month wait. And I remember times where there were waits of 8 months to a year to see a psychiatrist, even in Marquette. That's complicated, I think, Kevin, in more rural areas where obviously there's no psychiatrists and people have a hard time getting to where a psychiatrist is located.
Yeah, exactly. And everything from the assessments for referral and coordination of care is stymied because of the lack of psychiatry providers within our region.
Okay. What are the opportunities in terms of grant funding to try and make a difference there?
You know, I think, you know, a couple of things that we've done over the last few years since we began granting in 2014, I believe we've funded close to 20 different grants to community organizations focused on mental and behavioral health related services. In addition to that, we have expended a great amount of money in terms of scholarship and financial support to help train and educate our future healthcare leaders, our physicians, our psychiatry, our mental health professionals.
Okay.
So, you know, one of the things that we've done as a funder is to really look at what are some of the root causes of the issues that we're dealing with. You know, we talked a little bit before the show about the payer mix and a lot of other things that are contributing to this problem.
Right.
But as a funder, we're trying to work with our community stakeholders, our healthcare providers, our community mental health boards to not only better understand it, but also find ways that we can look at some, maybe even to a degree, some reform in how services are provided. And one of the neat things that we've done recently, recent and not so recent, we started having a conversation with Dr. Johnson and his colleagues a number of years ago about the potential of either both expanding clinical rotations for primary care residents, focusing more on mental behavioral health services. And at the same time, we also had a conversation, started having conversations about how could we initiate a residency program here in the Upper Peninsula focused on psychiatry with the intention that someday we would be able to build our own inventory of that specialty area and service area or service to our community. So that's another area that we have come in as a funder to help not only understand a problem, but also provide some financial resources to help to come to some solutions.
Okay. How does this relate to primary care services? I mean, one of the reports I read said 90% of the state's 83 counties have at least a partial shortage area designation. How would it compare to that shortage?
So, as mentioned,
just generally.
Just generally, there is probably a greater shortage in mental health services than there is in primary care. And we already know that there's a big gap in primary care needs, and so that's expanded. I mean, it's multiplied.
Primary care people are looking for a psychiatrist sometimes.
They
to
are.
Refer to, right?
You know, and so there was a recent survey done of Upper Peninsula primary care providers, physicians, on their access to referral for their patients to psychiatrists, and over 70%. Felt that they really didn't have a great resource to refer their patients to. Again, primarily because of that rural setting, and it's difficult for patients in rural areas to get to where a psychiatrist is located.
I see. To get a better sense of the landscape here for people who aren't familiar, we probably should distinguish between psychiatrists and psychologists in terms of what each does and how they work together. We're talking about two approaches to treatment, or is that oversimplifying?
So I'd like to maybe start there. It's important, I appreciate the question. I think it's important to recognize that psychiatrists and psychologists, masters of social worker trained individuals who provide counseling services, they're all considered mental health providers. And Rose, maybe we were talking earlier, maybe you can comment a little bit about the differences between what they do and...
So psychiatrists are medically trained physicians, of course. So
they go through all the stuff any MD would go through, right?
And so they're able to prescribe medications. They're able to order tests, admit to hospital services, for example. Psychologists are typically doctorally prepared as well. There are some that work are master's level psychologists that work under supervision of a doctorally prepared person. And so psychologists focus more on doing psychotherapy, helping people through crisis situations, but also maybe having a longer-term relationship.
Helping people moderate or change their behavior.
Correct, using different behavioral therapies. And they do work in conjunction with the psychiatrist. You know, psychologists may often say, gee, I'm questioning how your medication might be working. It might be time for you to go have a visit with your doctor. So, they work very hard to coordinate care between different agencies. Typically, you can self-refer into a psychologist or an LMSW, for example, or other professional counselors. So, you can pick up the phone and say, gee, I think I need some
help
today. So so there are people in town that, you know, are accepting self-referrals, and then there are also referrals out of physician offices, primary care, or a behavioral health office as well.
So. But as I understand, a psychiatrist is the only person in that, or being a medical doctor, is the only one who could prescribe some psychotropic drug or something like that, right?
Well, primary care providers prescribe those as well, and they also follow the plan of care that a psychiatrist may come up with to help that person with, complex medication needs. So,
looking over the route of matriculations of these things, these are long educational programs. I mean, once you have the MD, then how many years is it before you become a psychiatrist?
It's a lot, you know. So there's the medical school education, which typically is a four-year program. After medical school, the medical students identify a specialty that they'd like to pursue, and they go into a residency program to focus on that area of medicine. And so in psychiatry, that's a four-year residency training program. Often there are fellowships that individuals can go to enhance on a key area like geriatric psychiatry or child and adolescent psychiatry or forensic psychiatry. So there's additional year or years of training after a residency program. And that applies to family medicine, pediatrics, internal medicine, cardiology, you know, just you name it. There's residency programs and there are fellowships.
Okay. And a clinical psychologist actually goes through a lengthy process to get finally to the point where they can practice. Is that right?
That is true. That is true. So there are two tracks that you could take as a psychologist. If you're a PhD, that is more of a research-based program, or a PsychD is more of a clinically based program. So they go through extensive training as well to get that doctorate.
And you could see from that why there might be shortages in some areas when it takes so long to get through the system to begin with, and people have to look out for their own livelihood. The implications for service are fairly broad here. How does a shortage of psychiatrists, for example, affect community mental health programs? Any comments? Observations. Go ahead.
You know, one of the things that we have seen working with not just our community mental health boards, but more so with our many community nonprofit organizations, Great Lakes Recovery Centers, Phoenix House, Dial Help, our shelter homes, the absence of psychiatry really creates a void in the overall ecosystem of coordination of care.
Okay.
So as you're working with somebody that may be present in an emergency department, they're maybe having some assessment done by one of the representatives of Dial Help, the absence of a clinical or a psychiatrist to be present, to consult, to refer to, really creates a gap in the ability for those organizations to best serve. One of the things that we've talked about in addition to psychiatry, you know, as an example with our community health organizations, community nonprofits, is the absence of addictionology in our community, you know, the limits on that. There again, addictionologists coordinating care with a psychiatry service. You know, that's a very important part.
And that's rare as psychiatrists.
It is. So, and again, that's another area as a funder that we've been able to help play a role in terms of trying to develop some funding support for those fellowship trainings in pursuit of an addictionologist certification. But I think, you know, from our community organizations, it's just a real absence in coordination of care because of the gap that's created because of the lack of psychiatry.
Okay. How about inpatient capacity and treatment for mental health clients?
Sure. So at Marquette, we have 32 mm-hmm. physical beds that are existing in our new hospital. And that's the same as we had in the old hospital. So just so folks know, we do have some extra space up there that eventually will be occupied. However, due to physician resources, we are at the point where we have to limit our number of patients served to 21 per day. So, or at a time, I should say. So, again, that's a physician resource that plays into how many people we can serve at any given time.
And I'd like to just mention, you know, so there are also beds that are at the new facility that are tied to child and adolescent care, but we don't have any child and adolescent psychiatrists who admit at the hospital. We do have one child and adolescent psychiatrist in the community providing a lot of that outpatient care. But from an inpatient standpoint, when our children and our teenagers need inpatient services, we don't have those resources now. We don't have physicians to be able to provide that care, meaning that those families go downstate or out of state to receive care. And that's a tremendous cost to society and burden to families that face that situation.
It creates an additional barrier for the families that need to be part of that overall coordination of care as a family support when the care coordination is being facilitated, you know, in many cases hours and hours away from their home community. It's just an added barrier for a family that's already in crisis.
I see.
And that distance that people have to travel, being in mental health, you have to realize that, you know, family needs to participate in all that treatment as well. They need to be very involved. And so, you know, when mom or dad have to stay here and work, in their local community and aren't able to be actively present when their child is in a different location downstate, perhaps, that I think that complicates things even more. So we want families to be involved.
And so that's not just related to child and adolescent. Even our adult patients,
correct.
When the beds are full, they're traveling elsewhere for that care.
That is correct.
So. All right. Let's take a moment here to remind our viewers and especially our radio listeners that we're talking about physician shortages in the region, mental health needs, and the MyDocs Residency Initiative with UP Health System Marquette Behavioral Health Senior Director Rose Young, Michigan State University College of Human Medicine, UP Region CEO Stuart Johnson, and Portage Health Foundation Executive Director Kevin Storr. UP Health System's Marquette Family Medicine Residency Program has been providing experience and training in a rural setting for new med school graduates for over 40 years. Can we get a description of how a residency works and how it fits into a physician's education? You've answered that a little bit previously, but...
Yeah, so the experience in residency, and I'll comment on the family medicine program because that's what I'm most familiar with, but it'll be similar in other specialties. But a resident will come to Marquette for a period of 3 years for our family medicine program. The bulk of their training is provided in the outpatient family medicine clinic, so they gain that experience seeing patients day in and day out. But they also have a lot of experience treating patients in the hospital, in the ICU, on the OB floor, in the emergency department. And then they'll do monthly rotations in other fields or other specialties.
Mm-hmm.
So that they gain that experience to apply as they walk out into the world as providers. And that residency is under supervision, and it's a graduated supervision where first-year residents have much more direct supervision. But as they become third-year residents, they're really skilled physicians. Yeah.
What's been the result in terms of physicians trained and the retention?
Well, for us, that 40 years of training in the UP, we've graduated now 204 residents in family medicine. 45% of those residents have stayed in the Upper Peninsula to practice, and they're not only providing traditional family medicine in the outpatient setting, some are still providing OB services with deliveries of babies, but they're also staffing the rural emergency departments, urgent care settings, and they're also serving, functioning as hospitalists. So when patients come into the hospitals, they're the provider, the doctor providing their care.
I see. What's the so-called MyDocs initiative? I know it's supposed to stand for Michigan Doctors, right? How did it come about, and how does it differ from family medicine residency generally?
So as Kevin mentioned, at least the psychiatry portion came out of, I think, multiple discussions. There were a lot of pockets and community members looking on ways to resolve this mental health issue. Yeah. The MyDocs program, again, these four universities recognized the shortage of physicians in rural areas in primary care and mental health, and so they also got together with us to talk about how to resolve this. And what they've done is these four universities have collaborated with the state of Michigan and the federal government. So the universities are kicking in $5 million, the state of Michigan $5 million. And now that the federal government has come on board, they're putting in $10 million toward this initiative. It was called a pilot to start out with because the federal government hadn't come on board and we didn't know how long this program was going to be able to continue.
So the funding was maybe insecure at that point.
And because of that insecurity, the state of Michigan said, we really need to move forward with this. We asked them if we could move forward. And so they said each of the universities could move forward with one program. And so Michigan State University College of Human Medicine, we were fortunate to be that pilot site. What it means is that each university has six residency positions to expand into. Mm-hmm. And those positions are funded for the entire duration of a residency program. So residents don't have to worry if their funding is going to be cut sometime in the middle.
Right.
The other part of that is that the program is required to start at a residency program that already exists. Mm-hmm. And so in our case, that program is the psychiatry program in Lansing, Michigan, MSU's psychiatry program there. But over 50% of that residence time needs to be spent in a rural community. And they've partnered with the UP to provide that training. So the psychiatry program means they'll do 2 years of education in Lansing, and then they'll come to Marquette, and they'll do 2 years in Marquette.
Yeah. Now, it also involves a special financial incentive. Can you explain how that works for the residents?
Well, I'd like to kick that over to Kevin.
Okay, Kevin?
Yeah. Well, I think, again, we talked about how, as a funder, we can bring some resources to the table. So as Dr. Johnson and his colleagues have worked to, work through the process of getting the residency established, part of that incentive was to provide some resource to mitigate the student debt that the residents would be coming out of the program with, in exchange for 2 years post-residency practice within this community. So the Portage Health Foundation has obligated to provide that incentive for these first two residents and as our partnership in this process. Mm-hmm. And some people will say, have asked why did we as a foundation get involved in this at that level? And it goes back to the point of if we can build, the intent of this program is ultimately to build a provider capacity that doesn't currently exist, both in terms of supporting our inpatient beds at the hospital, in addition to providing medical directorships for our community organizations, and just that ability to have an additional psychiatry for a resource. So our intention and our hope as a return on that investment from our foundation is to see a greater capacity of healthcare providers, mental health providers within our region.
Okay. We read that the number of Michigan medical schools has increased. We're graduating more doctors than ever. Why is MyDocs needed?
So part of the problem, we talked a little bit about this before this program, but really the You know, the education, the number of medical students were that number that could be trained was capped by the federal government a long time ago, and then that's been expanding. They've been allowed to find ways to expand medical school sizes. Mm-hmm. The residency program, number of residents that hospitals can train individuals in, is also capped by the federal government. Mm-hmm. And so with that cap in place, and that cap has been in place since the mid-90s, there really hasn't been any way for that cap to be increased. And so UPL Systems Marquette is capped at 15 and a half residents that they can train per year. They pay for 18 residents, and so the hospital swallows the extra cost of training mm-hmm. those residents. But this is why a program like MyDocs is so...
You're saying that MyDocs, in effect, raises the cap?
In effect, it raises the cap. It gives us additional money to train residents at our facility.
Okay.
And I believe it created eight additional residency slots in the state of Michigan.
When it's fully functioning, it should create 24 residency 24. Spots per year. Okay. And
the... is this a specialty area for the UP? You know, is we have a lot of, you know, the UP is an aging population, and I'm not sure who handles the medical needs of dementia victims, but that must fall under some community or behavioral health kind of rubric in one way or another. Are they part of the psychiatric patient pool?
They do end up becoming a part of that pool, you know, wherever those patients come from and access healthcare services. Oftentimes, they do end up with the general medical or general psychiatric population.
Okay.
I'm not always sure that's the right thing to do. Excuse me. Because those folks have really very, very special needs, and it's challenging to meet those needs, especially when you're caring for
family members,
a big general population with a lot of different diagnoses and a lot of different issues going on. So they do end up in our population pool, mm-hmm. And I do think they need very special care.
Okay. We have about 30 seconds here. MyDocs was one piece of legislation. What could the governor and lawmakers do that might underpin its success and further improve health care for us in the UP?
Everybody's looking at me. One of the things that I think they could do mm-hmm. is spend more time speaking with the people on the ground that are providing services in our community, speaking with the counselors that are working with our folks that are challenged with mental illness and other mental and behavioral health concerns, speaking with the counselors, speaking with the aides, speaking with the substance abuse counselors, because I think what they would find is that there's a continual constriction and reduction of financial resources. There is a continual increase in unfunded mandates, changes in licensing and regulations that simply are actually impacting negatively ability as a community to meet our needs.
Okay, I'm afraid we have to leave it there for time. We've been talking about physician shortages, mental health needs, and the MyDocs initiative with UP Health System Marquette Behavioral Health Senior Director Rose Young, Michigan State University College of Human Medicine UP Region CEO Stuart Johnson, and Portage Health Foundation Executive Director Kevin Storr. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on MediaMeet.